Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today on KKXX. Today we are speaking with Don Cox, who is with the Impact Youth Ministry of Northern California and Nevada. He is located on the outside edge of Sacramento, California. And welcome to the show, to Christ Today. Don, should we have a prayer in, please?
Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this day and all day. We thank you for your blessings and your grace and your mercies. Lord, we do thank you for your protection and your provision. And Father God, we do pray now that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears. Lord, help us to receive what you have for us through your still small voice and through your word. Father God, help us to honor, glorify, and worship you, lifting up Jesus with every thought, word, deed, and attitude. And Lord, help us to draw many to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and to draw many to work in your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Don, welcome to the show.
Why don't you
go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, how to get in contact with your ministry, and how did you get to where you are now?
How did I get to where I am now? I'm third generation ministry. Some amazing shoes to follow with my granddad and my dad. We're there in Sacramento. Impact Youth Ministries has about 100 churches or so that are involved with us. We absolutely love it. We're just trying to give opportunity for those inside the church and outside the church to hear the gospel and give opportunities. We had a theme a while back called Living in 3D. And you know, a 3D movie, it's like getting those things that are in the TV screen outside of the TV screen into your living room. And it's like an amazing visual to see. And so we just told the teenagers we're trying to live for Christ in 3D. That means we got to take what we do outside of the church into the stores, into the schools, and into the homes. And so we try to give them opportunities. And whether it's in a high school gym, or whether it's at Six Flags, whether it's at a professional sporting event, God has just given us so many opportunities to share the gospel of Christ in these public places. And so that's our way of living in 3D. But I'll be honest, ministry was not the path that I chose for myself. Being raised in a pastor's home and seeing my grandfather as well, I wanted to be a baseball player. And then when I turned out to be too short for that, I wanted to be an accountant. And started a family very young, and I was working actually in a Perco's. Long story short, I was in a Perco's working when God gave me a message. And I went over and took a Perco's napkin. I wrote on it, and I'll still remember it to this day. It's talking about where God was impressing on me about the influences and associations that we have in our lives. And when I got home, my wife said, "You need to call your dad." And I said, "No way." And she says, "If you don't call him, I'll call him myself." So I called my dad, and he told me I needed to come over to his church and share it. And I think it took me all of 5 minutes to share my whole sermon. And a couple months later, the church said, "Why don't he come over and be our youth pastor?" And I said, "No way. I don't know that I can do that." But God was just speaking to our hearts, and we became a youth pastor in 1993, 23 years ago, May of 1993. There were four kids, they said. I met two of them later. The first Sunday we had two. We learned what not to do. We learned what to do. We learned what works and what doesn't work. And after 6.5 years there, I could sit down on a piece of paper and write down 277 kids that were coming to our church at that time. Not past and future who might would come, but at that current moment, we had 277 kids that I could name them all. And then it was just an amazing thing. 6.5 years in youth ministry, and our organization asked me if I wanted to pastor. And once again, I said no, and I didn't think I was ready, but I felt like God led us to Reading, so we pastored there for 4 years, and our district asked us to head up the District Youth Department for Northern California, Nevada, Impact Youth Ministries, and once again, I said no, because we had bought a house and God had blessed us there in Reading. But we felt that it was God. And since we've been here, God has just opened up unbelievable doors for us. And we're trying to not just walk through them, but run through them every single time. And a lot of people question us about some of them. Should we be at the Kings games? And should we be involved with these pro teams, you know, with chapels and stuff? And I said, if God opens the door.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where we're at. You know, we love it. That's kind of how I got there in a very, very, in a short version. Of course, you're talking 23 years of getting to today in ministry. I've learned a lot what not to do. And what I do doesn't work for everybody. One of the biggest mistakes that I've made in trying to help people is kind of telling them what I've done. You know, when we were in youth ministry in the Ukiah area, what worked there and it exploded and it was an amazing thing and the whole church exploded and blessed. Of course, we had great leadership as a and support from the pastor there. But what worked there doesn't necessarily work in Chico or work in Reading or Santa Rosa or wherever. It's whoever God has blessed you to. You have to know your sheep, you know, and so that's more important than anything.
That is important. Let's go ahead and touch on that a little bit more. It is all about seasons, because not only, let's say that you had, worked in Reading before a little bit, you transferred down to Sacramento for a couple of years. Even if you go back to Reading, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same.
It's a different season.
In fact, the church that I was honored to serve at for 4.5 years as senior pastor, that's not the same place. I just was there. We have a tour that we do every year and for youth ministry, and it just so happened that my former church there was hosting that particular youth service. And it feels sort of the same, but it's not the same. It's, you know, it's changed there as well. But that's life. I mean, I'm 12 years here at Impact Youth Ministries, and it's not the same in year 13 here as it was in year one. That's the way ministry is, because that's the way life is, and that's the way society is. We have to continue to, you know, God's doing new things all the time, although he doesn't change.
Yes.
The Bible talks about
Well,
that.
He doesn't change, but he's eternal.
Absolutely.
So yeah. to get a glimpse of him in this season is to get a different glimpse in a different season. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I know I've said this so much that the listeners are probably tired of hearing it, but you'll have two people sitting on your pews. One has 8 years in the Lord, and the other one has 1 year in the Lord 8 times.
Because they
will not grow.
They will not grow. And that's the amazing thing about pastoring. That's the amazing thing about speaking to kids from all walks of life. And I truly believe this. I truly believe that I'll get up there and I'll speak to, well, we just had a nice youth event. We had 165 talent entries come out all day long. Talent. I'm just amazed at the talent of these young people, whether they were singing, whether they were playing an instrument, whether it was arts or crafts or making a movie or writing poetry, whatever it was. And then we had a service that night, and we'll have 500 teenagers there. I only preach one sermon. You know, it's only one sermon that I preach. I truly believe that it was 500 sermons that went out. You know, because wherever they are is where I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to them. So I could say something very clearly on one sentence, and the very next sentence is what changed the life for somebody on the other side of the room. So I just try to, you know, do my best to bring whatever God gives me to bring, and just let God do the speaking. Because like you said, they're at different walks, there are different things, but you can't speak as individual. We can't in our, you know, in our mortal form here. We can't speak to all, whether it's 25 or 50 or even on this radio program right here, whoever is listening on this, we're speaking one word, but I believe God takes this transmission, and everything you guys do on a regular basis takes this transmission, and it speaks to wherever they are, the words they're needing to hear. I just believe that's how God works.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I believe that when Jesus says, I think it's in Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged, mm-hmm. it's because you don't know what season somebody's in.
Absolutely.
They may be in their fallow season.
Yeah.
They may be resting from something they just got over. They may be plowing, ready to sow. That's right. They may be weeding. They may be watering. They may be there's 100 different things that they could be doing.
Absolutely.
And so you can't always on the outside look at somebody and know what season they're in.
That's right.
Or what they need. That's what the Holy Spirit's for.
And we make mistakes when we make the assumptions that we do know exactly. You know, there are times when God gives us a word and we can go to them and say, I just feel in my heart that this is kind of the need that you're going through. And I mean, if it's God, then great. If it's just me, then ignore me. But, you know, there's times like that that you can do that. But, I mean, all we do is just talk and do our best. And I sleep really good at night because I try every day. But really, you know, the Bible talks about it very clearly. One might water, you know, one might plant, one might water. But the only increase is going to come from God. So that's you're still depending on that.
Amen.
So I'll plant every time I have an opportunity to plant. I talk about those open doors. I'm running through there with seed, you know, and if I'll plant it, and sometimes it goes on that shallow, and sometimes there's a lot of thorny areas, but I'm still going to be running with as much seed as I can, and hopefully, you know, I hope this radio station as well is. You know, I know that it's planting, but also watering what maybe host pastors or home churches are planting in people and in their lives. But still, we're still needing God's increase. That's what we have to have.
Well, it's an excellent point you make, and that's actually and getting kind of back to what we're doing here. That's one of the reasons why we're bringing in some of the guest speakers we are bringing in, is because you're bringing in fresh fire, and we're. Trusting in the Holy Spirit talking through you to reach our audience in the way they need to be reached.
I appreciate the invitation. This is a neat experience, and I'm happy to do it.
So I've got your book in my hand, The Dirty Stall Philosophy, Developing Successful Youth Leadership. Okay, excellent book, by the way. I read this thing cover to cover, and I was very, very impressed. You have, I suggest this... Now, I'm going to take a big leap. You wrote this for youth leadership, but I'm here to tell you, every pastor ought to read this because every pastor has come from youth.
That's nice.
Sometimes with hard knocks, you know.
Yeah.
And yet, sometimes they haven't still learned all the lessons they may needed to have learned in youth leadership.
Right, which clearly I still haven't either. It's a constant learning.
But I do have several
different
things.
Leaders need to be readers. So.
Absolutely. I do have several different excerpts here, though, that I want to go ahead and talk to you because this, and then I bring this up right now because it seems so, let's say, it seems so relevant to where we are right now in the conversation. You say in here, you quote the, I can do all things through Christ, but then you go on to say, well, we have some people that are kind of begging out, you know, they're excusing themselves and saying, I can do all things except.
Except.
Go ahead and extrapolate.
Yeah, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to have wisdom with that verse because we can go outside of Christ and try to do things ourselves. And we have to trust when God gives us a word that we can do it, we can do it. The example that I used, and it's really what spoke to me, and I'm just so visual, was I just wanted potato soup. I just wanted potato soup. And my wife had this stuff to make potato soup. So I asked her to make potato soup, and she said, I can't right now. I got this going on. You go ahead and do it. And I said, no, I can't do it. And she said, no, you can do it. Read the instructions. Uh-huh. And I said, no, I really can't. And then I kind of got, you know, little convicted of I can do all things through Christ except make potato soup. And so I opened up the instructions, and the first thing it said was boil water. Well, I can do that. And then I mixed the stuff in, and I mixed it up, and when I tasted it, well, that was some really good potato soup. And I had three bowls right then, and then I brought some to my wife. She didn't want to eat any. I'm not really sure what that means. She said she was proud of me, and I don't know if she was sarcastic, but I still receive it. And but it really got me thinking that it really spoke to me as far as my heart and my spirit was that all I really needed to do was trust in the instructions. And once I followed the instructions as best as I possibly could, everything lined out. And God has given us an instruction book, the most amazing book in the world, the Bible, It's amazing how it's the most sold book in the Bible, but also the most stolen book in the Bible. If you look at the Bible has stolen more than any book in history. It's the most amazing of instructions. And if we can follow that, whether it's not just ministry, but marriage, finances, in everything, we'll come up against adversity that we think, I can't handle it. But then a scripture tells us that there's nothing that we can't handle through Christ, you know. And
well, also, if we lack the wisdom, James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, ask the author.
ask the author. Absolutely right. I don't pretend to know everything. In fact, I'll say this live in front of everybody. When you asked for the book, I was nervous because I know what a reader you are, and you're so diligent and so thorough and in your writings and everything. And I was like, oh man, he's gonna find every little fault and misspelling. that's really nice of you to say. And God's just, I didn't want to be an author. I won't lie to you. I didn't want to be an author. I was asked to write a little thing for kind of like just a little self-help for youth pastors, you know, a little manual, I think was the word that they asked me for. So I started to do it, started to write it, and it got stolen. I'm not a real technical guy. I have guys around me in our ministry that are technical. I'm pretty good at outfitting what they need to be technical and figuring out that administrationally side, but doing that technical stuff is not me. You would think I would have known to back it up with a flash drive or something. And somebody broke into our offices and stole my computer, and I lost all the work. And so the whole book was gone. But the dream wasn't gone, and the mandate to do it wasn't gone. And so I waited a few years and started working on it again. And a great brother from Dallas, Texas, one of our leaders of our whole movement, called me up. And I have no idea, other than maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to him, and said, hey, you're working on a book or a manuscript or something. And I said, no, I'm working on a little manual to hand out to youth pastors that are just getting started. And he said, Don, can I look at it? And I said, sure. And I emailed it to him, and he contacted me back, and he said, Don, we got to have this published. You got to get that out there. Next thing you know, I'm talking with guys like Ron Luce, who's one of a great youth leader, Choir of the Fire and Youth Mania Ministries, and he wants to sign on it, and he wrote a little thing on it, and it all happened so fast that I was just like, are you sure that I didn't even want my picture on it? it was just an amazing thing, and it just is really cool. It's really cool, and to hear that it helped anybody, just it thrills me. So I'm blessed. That's really nice of you to say.
Well, and the reason I say that you make a good point in your book, and this is one of the reasons why I say this book is not just for youth pastors, because you make the point that youth pastors eventually grow up to be senior pastors. So let's go ahead and take that point, and let's go ahead and take a break. John?
Thank you for listeners. We will be right back, but we want to remind you that we are thankful to our sponsors, and this segment is sponsored by Mark Hicks, pastor of Calvary Christian Fellowship in Oroville. And he has a 9:45 Bible study and an 11 o'clock worship service. They're located at 3855 Fallbrook Avenue, again in Oroville. And certainly Pastor Mark Hicks would enjoy seeing you there. Thank you, listeners. Welcome back to Christ Today. Today we are speaking with Don Cox, with Impact Youth Ministry, and our host Mike Davis and he are having some good conversation here. Thank you.
Well, and I just, you know, I was thinking on the break that, you know, if somebody comes up and tries to publish your manuscript, you'll know who the culprit was that stole your computer.
Good. Hey, maybe we can find that out.
So anyway, I wanted to go ahead and quote a scripture real quick here. And this is from Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, not minor because of lack of importance, but minor because it's not very long. And he says in chapter 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Love now, that. The picture I have of this is you spoke to when things happen, they happen really, really quick. And this that Habakkuk is saying, it gives me the picture of somebody who sets up all those dominoes in the room.
Right.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
It's very exact.
Yeah.
But the moment that the first domino is tipped over, things happen in
it
a hurry.
It starts going. That's right. That's super, super key. I mean, if we're going to talk youth ministry, that's something that's really helped me. If you're using the example of the dominoes, you know, a lot of times, especially starting out in youth ministry, we set those dominoes in order from the first one to the last one. But sometimes the opportunity to set up a domino is out of order. It's farther up there. And so that's something that's really helped me, is that I'll be setting dominoes in one area and have to completely remove myself from that area, go to another area and set dominoes up there. And then you'll find that when the time starts going, all of them go together. It's just an amazing thing. That verse in Habakkuk is something that I talk about a lot. I talk about it in any kind of youth leadership training, because I do believe in goals. I believe in having dreams. I believe if God gives us the ability to dream it, he'll give us the ability to accomplish it, whether that's youth ministry or family, marriage, home, whatever it might be. And one thing I talk about a lot, and it's just something that God's helped me with. He's helped me with it on the local youth level. He's helped me as we pastor there in New Beginnings in Orangeville. We took a church there that had 7 people. My very first Sunday, 4 of them handed me their keys and said, you know, good luck, you know. And that was okay, because one thing that God has given me the ability to do is to walk into a youth room, whether it's an arena for a faith night, or a high school gym for a youth service, or whatever we're doing. I can walk in there and be the only one in the entire gym, the only one in the entire church, the only one in the entire youth room. But in my heart and in my mind's eye, I see that place full. I see it full. And so as I'm there seeing it full, I can see it full. And so something stirs in you about what do you have to do to fill it. And what happens with youth ministry, a lot of times you'll have 10 kids, and so you put out 10 chairs. And if you can only see 10 chairs fill, you only put 10 chairs. But what happens is when you start in your heart seeing it full, you start setting up those dominoes for the later time. And so I can walk in and I can see it full. And what happens is when young people and youth pastors both, because, you know, we're working together, you know, and when they start catching that their own vision that God's given to them, you start seeing them coming up with more ways to fit more kids in a room. And people will say, who cares if you need to fit 75 in here? You only have 15. Yeah, but I could fit probably 25 more chairs in there. And like, why? Because I can see it, you know. And then you start sharing that with, you got to give somebody a reason to run. I mean, the Bible says that you share it, write it on the tables, make it clear so that people can run with it. You got to give them a reason to run with it. And if when they feel it and they can see it, and when the thing is, I truly believe this, especially as leaders and youth leaders, pastors, whatever area we're a leader of our home, it's easier for us sometimes to see it, but it's harder for us to express it. The thing is, you read that scripture and you start seeing so that people can run with it. I mean, you want to read some great scripture, read Nehemiah. You know, you start reading through where the people had a mind to work, and somebody had a vision and goes to the king, and I just really want to see my hometown built back up. I can see it in my own heart. I can see it in my own mind. I mean, and God started setting up dominoes already, and then you see that the adversity came. But, I mean, they're holding hammers in one hand and swords in another, because we use the phrase biblically, people had a mind to work. But if you want to take that scripture and put it with Habakkuk, you can clearly see that it was the people had a mind to run with that vision. You know, yes. I'm not trying to add or take from mm-hmm. scripture there, yeah. but scripture works together to build our faith, and we get a mind to run, we get a mind to work, mm-hmm. and we start to see the dream start to surely come.
And, absolutely. And that's where we connect the dots with Scripture,
right.
Because one leads to the other.
Right.
You read the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you've never seen so much Old Testament quoted.
Yeah, well, that was his background.
Matthew
yeah.
has a lot of Old Testament in it. And so, yeah, you have to give people an opportunity to see the goal. I've been in places before, you know, that their goal, you look at their goal and it's like, really? Is that really your goal?
It?
That's such a low bar. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, and I talk about that a lot. I love talking with especially young leaders. That's really, I love doing that. But setting higher bars. We have a God that can do more than we can ask, think, imagine, and yet we think and imagine and ask for so little. You know, and that's not just in leadership of a church. That's in our own personal lives. We ask and think. So, and he can do more. Ephesians, he can do more than we can ask, think of. The high bars are, that's you, when you mention high bars, you know, I that gets me. I start talking about that. I mean, we got to have higher expectations. We have the greatest God, the only one that we can say with a capital G. You know, there's a lot of little gods out there, but we have the Almighty God. Why would we have low expectations?
Absolutely. And when we only expect that low bar standard for our God, it insults him.
I think so, too.
It's like, really?
Really?
You don't think I can get you any better than that?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, I would hate to walk in someday and have a goal on the board that says, my 2016 goals are to make sure that all the 2014 goals were removed from the wall.
You know? Yeah, you know, but we have to be really careful. I mean, we can almost sound heartless when we haven't reached the goals. I celebrate the smallest of victories. And I'll go into youth leaders and they say, man, we want to have 50 teenagers in church. And they have 7. Great. You got a great start. Keep going, keep working. They just haven't had the rest of the dominoes fall yet. They're still lining them up. Celebrate every single domino. Celebrate, you know, sometimes the dominoes have fast, sometimes not so fast. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes a little thing knocks a domino out of the line and it stops the domino fall. And you got to rework some things and do some things so you can get the dominoes going again. Wherever people might be at in their ministry, in their leadership, or in their personal life, I'm really careful to not ever diminish where they're at and their dominoes lining up or where they're at. You know, it's we get this keeping up with the Joneses, if you want to call it that. But like, you know, you'll have a church that I love our church and I love and we'll have, you know, 70, 80 people and great people. And then we'll go to another church in town that has, you know, 2,500. And I think, well, I'm not doing anything. Well, no, we are doing something. And we'll have a youth group in one town that has 250 kids. We'll go to another one that has 2 or 3. And you know what? They're just getting things going. And you can't diminish where we are. Despise not the times of small things, the Bible says. So you just got to make sure that you're encouraging to reach for more and to expect more and have high expectations. But at the same time, not diminish where you are. You're learning something at this moment, you know, so... You know, it's a fine line there. We always got to be careful of that.
Well, absolutely. And we have to recognize that, and I think it's fair to recognize that not every field is the same.
True.
If you've plowed fields before, you know that some have a lot more rocks in them than others.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot more work
at some
places.
We got great instruction on that, don't we? Jesus himself gave us some great instruction about when you're sowing the seeds. There's different seeds, there's different harvests based on how that ground is.
Yes.
And you're right.
And then the work it takes, is it the farmer's problem that he only had rocky soil to work with? Well, a regular farmer that would throw, he's not throwing to get the seed on the rocky soil. He's throwing to get it on the good soil,
the soil
that has been prepared. But some soil just takes more work to prepare it than others.
Right, that's true. There is an amazing stat, and I like researching things. You know, I'll just sit around and just, especially if we're talking about farmers or we're talking about something else. And I found this stat, and it is. I just think it's so telling that you think about one of the hardest working jobs in America is the job of a farmer. They probably are up earlier than any of us, and they quit working probably later than any of us. I mean, it's before sunup and after sundown. They work harder than almost any job you can think of. Yet, of all the job that they do and all the work that they do, it's estimated that when it comes to a harvest, that the farmer can only account for about 5% of what needs to happen for that to grow. You think about that. He can water it and he can weed it and break up the ground. And as hard as he's working, he still has to wait for the little by little, you know, the little bit of growth, that what's happening in the soil, what's happening in the seed. And as hard as he's working, he's still accounting for about 5%. And if we can kind of grab a hold of that, because, you know, we talk about harvest a lot, that we're working as hard as we can. Again, the increase comes from God. We're planting and we're watering, but we still have to have God to see these things accomplished. You know, so
absolutely. And Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers mm-hmm. into the fields. You know, yeah. This is not a centralized issue.
Right.
You know, let's not assume that it's only pastors that bring people to the Lord. It is a decentralized process here.
Yeah.
Everybody has to do their share.
And everybody has a work to do. And that's something that you come across a lot. You come across, well, I haven't been taught or I haven't been trained. I haven't had Bible school. I haven't had that youth ministry. One thing I get a lot, I'd love to help the youth, but I'm too old now. I mean, I'm going to be 44. Can I say that on there next week? I don't want to ever get out of youth ministry. I love it. And I love being a senior pastor as well. But one of the greatest workers I have ever had in my years of youth ministry was at the time, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but at the time he was 77 years old, a former military vet, a war hero, couldn't hear very well, but he wanted to drive that bus. And sometimes it was scary, I'll be honest with you. I drove behind him one time. He thought if he went faster that the church bus became skinnier, I think. I'm not sure, driving through San Francisco. But those kids loved him. And he was 77 years old, and he just wanted to serve. So every single one of us have something we can do in the kingdom of God. God has placed us where we are. We think it might be on accident. It just so happened. If you read through stories of Scripture, read through Esther one time. And if you want to talk about some of the world's greatest coincidences, just read that whole story. It's like, that's a coincidence. Well, that's a coincidence. Well, that's a coincidence. And you get to the end, it wasn't coincidence. It was just one thing after another after another. And that's what God's doing for us. He lines up all what we call coincidences. But as you said earlier, they're dominoes.
Well, and you know, that has, it's funny that you should say, mention Esther, because that has one of my favorite scriptures, and that is, who knows that you were not brought to the kingdom for just such a time as this. You know,
right.
We should all be honored. We really should be honored with as close as we are to the return of the Lord, that we may very well be in the very last generation. What an honor to be in that generation that mm-hmm. has so much to do and so much on the line.
Right. Absolutely. You know, yeah. It's such a time as this.
We could have been anywhere in time, but we're here.
We're here.
And we got work to do.
Absolutely. 100%, absolutely.
So let me talk about time spent with the Lord. How important is prayer to any ministry?
You know, I tell you what, I was just in a place, and I won't say where, and I won't say who, I won't say any of that, because it's a person that's pretty well known. And this question came up, and they said, well, I'll be honest with you, I don't pray every day. And I thought, wow, that's okay, but I'm not here to judge. You know, I'm not here to judge. I don't pray every day. But they said something that I thought was very, it spoke to me. They said, but I do make sure I say this to God. God, let my day today make a difference in somebody's life. Let my life be relevant today. Send me to the people that I can help. You know, and they said, I don't read my Bible every day and I don't pray every day. I don't know if they were saying that this is a habit or if this they were just being brutally honest, because I'll be honest, there are times that I'm catching a plane at 4 a.m. and I miss my Bible reading that day. You know, there are times that you know, this morning, you know, I'm trying to get up to get here or whatever we're doing. And you're like, well, I'll read tonight then. And then I'll be honest with you, what happens when I get back to my hotel tonight if, you know, I get a call from there, or I do this, and then I forgot to read my Bible because my history is to read it in the morning. I don't know if they were just being honest or if what the habit is. For me personally, my favorite thing is we have four boys. Three of them are in college now. Three of them are at home still. One is in high school. Our youngest is in high school. And my wife gets up and leaves our room and is getting lunches or whatever she's doing down there. And so I have the room to myself. That's when I just get to just pray. And I love that time. It's in the morning. I really love that time. And then I come downstairs. The boys are dressed and ready for school, and they're milling around, maybe eating breakfast or whatever they're doing. And I sit on my couch, and my wife sits on her little couch right there, and we read. And we'll discuss what we're reading. We're reading the same thing. So we're reading the same passages, and we'll discuss it. The boys come through, hey, all right, have a great day at school, and they see us reading our Bibles together. It's important. And so personal time with God, there's a lot of people that might blow it off, but I don't think that shows wisdom, because that's our source right there. We talk about God being the one that brings increase. We'll go and plant and water all day long and forget that we need God. And so, yeah, that personal time. You know, I come from a long line of prayer warriors who you happen to know personally. You know my dad and my grandpa and my grandma and my aunts and uncles. And so they instilled in us in a young age that, hey, kid, you might have some talent, but apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might be able to think you're all that, but apart from Jesus, you're not going to really accomplish everything that he has purposed for you to do. So make sure you're taking the time to recognize the one who is putting you where you are and opening these doors for you and asking for guidance. So, yeah, it's important. Very, very important.
Well, and you make a really, really good point, too, is that all the different things that you've brought up, prayer is a lot of different things.
It really is.
For a season. Because in one season, you're going to be really, really drawn to prayer, praise and worship. Other times, you're going to intercede.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this gentleman who you were speaking to says, well, I don't pray every day, you know, in some cases, I don't intercede every day. I don't take people's problems and people's needs to the Lord maybe nearly as much as I should.
Yeah.
But it's a seasonal type thing. When the Lord gets a hold of me to intercede,
absolutely,
we're going to the throne.
Absolutely. My dad taught this, and I have actually, here I am, you know, I write a book. He's the one that should have been writing a ton of them, but I've been trying to get him to write a book on this, on prayer. He just understands. It's just unbelievable. But one thing he taught, and I'll never forget, and I feel led to share it because somebody listening might need this. The Lord's Prayer is such an amazing foundation and pattern to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're starting out with worship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I mean, you're covering what I need to do today, what needs to happen in my life, what needs to happen as far as provision, whether it's a healing, whatever it is. Give us this day our daily bread. God, what do I need, my family need today? You're talking about forgiving my faults and forgiving their faults. I mean, you're covering everything. And what happened was, I pray the Lord's Prayer every day. In the morning, it is my pattern to pray. The last thing I do before I go to sleep is pray the Lord's Prayer. I don't do that to be a traditionalist. I don't do that to be repetitive or anything like that. I use it as a pattern. And so I'll pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'll just take that moment to give him praise and thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. When I get to give us this day our daily bread, I'll take that opportunity to share all the things, God, not just a laundry list of I need this, I need this. That's not what really prayer is. You know, one thing that I was told one time is, and we've heard it repeated many times, is you don't just show up to ask what you need. You show up and report for duty. You know, speak to me as well. You know, it's not a one-sided conversation, but when you if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you'll realize that it covers everything, and you use it as a pattern. So you start using that to, and you'll shoot off to pray for this, and you'll shoot off to pray for that. And you know, he said pray this way, not necessarily that you have to use these words, but you're covering worship, you're covering the needs that you have, you're covering the forgiveness that you need, the forgiveness that you need to give mm-hmm. to others.
And that's a key point, protecting you from temptation.
I mean, it's all there.
And that's a key point because really Jesus was the only one that could say, you know, forgive us as we forgive others. Well, right. everybody else is in trouble.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. You know, there you go.
We really need to understand that we're in need of God's help.
Well, because
God's
you get
help.
A lot of people, and here we are over 2,000 years later, and they're asking the same question. How do I pray? Teach me how to pray. You know, and so Jesus said, here's how. You know, so why not use his teaching? And it really is a great, if you're struggling to pray, if anybody listening is struggling to pray, first of all, we have to realize that we're called some amazing things by this person we're praying to. We're called son and daughter. Sometimes relationships get strained between parents and children. That can happen with God. But he loves us so much that the moment we come back, here I am, open arms. Mm-hmm. He calls us friend. Sometimes relationships get separated. I've had some great friends that I've had that have moved away, or maybe I moved away, and we're not as close and we talk, but once you come back, it's like we never left. Prayer is the exact same thing. You know, God has called us his sons and his daughters. He has called us his friends, and he wants communication with us. And so it's just talking to him as we're talking here in this room.
Absolutely. You know? And if we're feeling kind of like distant from God, it's not him that's moved.
Exactly. Don't you love that? Yeah. And they also say this, if God is lost, how did that happen? Right? If it wasn't him, it was us, you know? Yeah, exactly right.
Thank you. Those are really wise words, Don Cox. And listeners, we're going to take this short break and give a chance to pause and mention Ken Malone, who is the pastor of the New Life Church in Thermalito at 965 Grand Avenue. He has worship services every Sunday at 10:30 and at 6 p.m., and on weekdays at 7, on Wednesdays, that is, at 7 p.m. So thank you very much, Ken Malone, Pastor. You do a great job there. And now we're back with Christ Today, Don Cox. This is a great interview we're doing, show, and thank you for your words on prayer.
Now, Don, I want to say something just to connect the dots again, because we're talking and we just finished on praying the Lord's Prayer, okay? Mm-hmm. And Scripture does say, Jesus is quoted as saying, my words, their spirit and their life.
Absolutely.
So if we're going to go ahead and learn how to pray, we got to pray from the author.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say it this way. If it's good enough for Jesus, if this is the way he's doing it, are we, as a Christian, are we not supposed to be Christ-like?
Oh, I'm going to improve on that, right?
Right. So, I mean, we think we got to figure it out. Like, Jesus said do it this way, but you know what? I think I got it. I think I got this one handled. No, I mean, I think we could, because you mentioned something that is fantastic. You say, well, go to the author. We're not just talking about author of the book. We're talking author of all creation, right? He is the author and finisher of our faith. And where does our faith have to begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so if we can't get that, if we can't believe the very first sentence, how are we going to believe the rest of it? So when you talk about the author and finisher of our faith, you know, there is nothing. The Bible says there is nothing too hard for our God. By his outstretched hand, he created the heavens and the earth. That's where our faith begins. That not just the author of a book, of the word of God, our life, as you said, but the author of all creation. So, yeah, I think he's pretty much got a handle on how things should be run.
Yes, amen. And you know, I am, you know, brought to another thing that Scripture says, he calls us by name.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it? You're a youth pastor. You don't, I mean, you can't get past first base if you don't know somebody by their name.
Right. Yeah, and for me, I'm going to be honest with you, that's one of the hardest parts. I mentioned that when I was a youth pastor, I wrote down every name, 277. I knew them all, every name of people who come. I mean, some came every week, some came once every 3 months. I knew them. I was in their high school. I knew them. I struggle with that now because we're not just in one building anymore. We're going to many youth groups, 100 youth groups or so come out to different things that we do. And so I struggle with getting their names. So it's a lot of, hey, man, hey, girl, good to see you. I recognize their faces. That's where God is so amazing. He just doesn't take it to the name. He doesn't just know us by our name. He knows us. He knows how many hairs we have on our head, for goodness sakes. One thing that I say a lot, he doesn't just know us, especially in ministry. He's like, he called us by name. He knew exactly where we were. And I think that's something that, and I talk about that in the book, and I talk about that in person a lot, that it was not geography that put us where we are. He knows our name. He knows where we are. He knows right where we are. It wasn't just the fact that we had parents that started going to that, or grandparents that started going to that church, or years ago somebody moved to this country, or it was that, because that's just saying everything that has to do with our calling is because of geography. It's not because of geography. It's because God had a purpose and a plan. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. Great plans for future, for a hope, not for destruction. And you're not where you are, whether it's the head of your home, whether it's at the job you work, whether it's a ministry position, whether it's a layperson position, whether it's a radio host. You're not here because you just happened to be in the area and there was an opening. That's giving all credit to geography. It's God wanted you here or wherever you are for the people that you're assigned to. God knew exactly where we were. And he got us here, whether it was moving our grandparents 50 years ago or moving us. God got us here because he had a plan. You know, don't give geography all the credit for doing what you do where you do. Make sure we know that it was God that lined up those dominoes way before we ever knew what we were going to be doing.
Well, and absolutely. And one of the things that we need to understand also is that we're dealing with dominoes that can move around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're depending on a particular person to be right. That linchpin.
Many moving parts.
And all of a sudden, they're in another ministry, maybe in the same church, but in a different role.
Right.
And they're no longer your go-to guy anymore, you know, and that can get...
that's one of the hardest parts. And for most people, all of those moving parts are working for free. You know, they're all volunteers. And so there's only so much you can ask and demand of a volunteer. I mean, if you're paying somebody, that's maybe a different story. You're being paid. You're working for hire. Might be having a little bit more of expectation from your time and how your job you're doing. But when you're working for free, what are you going to do? Fire me? So, all these moving parts. And you have to be so patient. You know, you have to be so patient working with everybody.
Well, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean...
There you go. There you go. I'm not saying it's an easy one.
No. It's built by tribulation.
Right. I just met... It's so funny. I'm a golf coach. And it's so funny. I have guys that are... a couple from my church that are on my golf team. And I started talking to them about, you know, adversity builds character. And when you're dealing with that adversity, that's what's going to grow you, and you're going to get better through this. And I hear these other two, amen. You know, the other seven or eight on the team are going, like, amen. I'm like, am I preaching right now? Okay, that's what I do, you know. So
here you are.
Here I am. Go hit a golf ball now.
Well, golf is an interesting sport, too, because golf is one of those things that it doesn't necessarily matter how big you are or how, you know, if
that's
you're built like Adonis, it has nothing to do with how far that golf ball's going.
Right.
Because I've seen some guys that were incredibly, you know, stacked like a, you know, just like a building.
It's so mental.
Yeah, it really is.
So mental.
And these guys that you know, they work part-time as a forklift or something, you know, I don't...
Weekend warriors.
Yeah, they don't always...
Throwing clubs. You hear language on a golf course that you don't normally hear inside the walls of a church, I'll tell you that much. Oh, God is good.
It is. He is all the time, all over town. So you talk about in your book about stirring up the gift that's within you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for other people to come around and stir you up.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord sometimes.
Right.
There's nobody around sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes we're finding ourselves like Philip in the middle of the desert.
Right. And what I see a lot is I love the team concept. I absolutely love it. Jesus had a team. He had a great team. He had his inner three, and then he had his 12, and then he had his 70. And with those, he was reaching thousands. I try to have that. I want my inner three and my 12 and 70. Imagine a group of 70 youth pastors working together in different cities. You have 1,000 kids easy when you show up. But what happens is we have the mentality of, well, if the team can't show up, then I'm not going to show up either. And so we want to work at the church and pull weeds, let's say. But everybody was busy. Well, then I'm not going to show up and pull the weeds myself. I'm not going to show up. And I mean, we just had our youth camps last year. I went and cleaned the bathrooms myself. I'm not above doing something by myself. And that's what I talk about a lot. There's got to be excellence. You got to do everything the best that you can. That's what I think. I talk about Daniel and Joseph, some of my favorite Bible characters, that there was such a excellence about them that even if they didn't have everybody to stand with them, they would stand themselves. And the Bible shows that they were thought higher than the governors and the princes. And if people wanted to put them over their realm, because if they could be over their realm, it would be successful and it would prosper and it would go. And you got to have that spirit of excellence, but you also have to be willing to go to work yourself. You have to be willing to get up yourself and go to work yourself. And to me, that's all leadership. That's all example. I'll throw it out there. Hey, the bathrooms need to be cleaned. And I might do that twice. But if nobody's cleaning the bathrooms, I grab my gloves and I grab my stuff and I'll go clean those bathrooms. If something needs to be done, even if it means I'm doing it by myself, maybe God was speaking to me and I had to learn something that day. I truly believe in team for everything. But as a leader, we got to be a self-starter and we have to get up ourselves and go to work.
Absolutely. And we grow through tribulation. And, mm-hmm. and I haven't said this in a while, so our listeners probably need it. Somebody out there needs it. But you don't grow by eating banana splits. Not spiritually, anyway.
You'll grow. You'll grow, just maybe not in the way you want. You'll grow out,
spiritual,
but maybe not
yes.
up.
But spiritual growth comes by tribulation. It's
true.
You grow by cleaning up the dog vomit.
Right.
And it really, these opportunities that swing right. open on doors, you know, it's the folks that know that they need right. to grow in that particular area.
Sure.
Get the nastiest job out there, and if you have somebody that's on their feet and headed toward that nasty door, you know you've got a mature
exactly
Christian
right.
that knows they need to grow
right.
and knows that that is a job that's not above them.
And the process is dirty sometimes. And the way you said that, I love the way you said that. And I mean, not necessarily that I love talking about vomit, but the book is so weird of a name and a title. It's so strange. And when that's one thing that the publisher, when they said they wanted it, I said, I've always wanted to write. It was the Dirty Stall Philosophy. And it's Proverbs 14:4 that says, where there are no oxen, the stall stay clean, but there is much increase in the strength of the oxen. And that's saying that the process is dirty sometime. I was just talking a minute ago, outside of this room about we want to have youth in our church, but if you have youth in your church, there's going to be gum in the tithing envelopes. They're going to write notes on them sometimes. You know, you're going to, there'll be a broken window. There might even be trips to the emergency room. You're going to have spots on carpets. Things are going to happen. But what happens so many times is that side of growth, churches would rather have the church spotless, which I'm all for a spotless church. But I'd rather have a spot on a carpet and the teenager that made the spot than a clean carpet and no teenagers there to make a spot, if that makes any sense. And so we miss out on a lot of increase because we're not willing to shovel. And that's a weird way of saying it when it comes to ministry, but if you're willing to shovel, go through the adversity, explain to a parent, you know, hey, this might not have worked as we planned it. You know, I might be shoveling. Explain to the pastor, I'm sorry that we broke a window. We didn't know he was going to do that. You know, something of that can happen, but there is so much increase in, if a farmer decided all these oxen were too much trouble for me and what they represent were too much trouble for me, he would lose out on all the increase that they bring, the strength that they bring. And that's the way, it's not just youth ministry, but children's ministry, but in any ministry, in a home, as a parent, as the father of four boys, as the husband of a wife, there are times that you have to do things that are not the easiest thing to do, but they're necessary. To whether it's fighting for your family, praying for your family, sacrificing your own time or your own wants, or, you know, I wanted to put new motorcycle pipes on my motorcycle, but my kid needs braces. How many of us make those sacrifices on a regular basis? You know, something, maybe smaller things, you know, little things. You make these sacrifices, but what you're doing for your family is so worth every single sacrifice. And what we're doing in the kingdom of God is every sacrifice. And so that's why I say it a lot, that my mentality for ministry and leadership is I have a dirty stall philosophy, that I don't mind getting in there and cleaning bathrooms. I don't mind getting in there and doing the work that's necessary, even if that means I'm so far behind the scenes doing these things that nobody even sees me. But what I did so far behind the scenes led one person to Jesus, or led one person to say, I don't need drugs and I don't need that lifestyle. I don't need this and I don't need that. I'll scrub a toilet from now until Jesus comes back, if that's what it takes. So that's what the dirty stall philosophy means to me anyway. Like you were saying, we might have to be cleaning up this or struggling with that area, but that's building us. And it's building those that are around us, and it's necessary.
And it's an example for others. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't even know the example we're setting for others.
Exactly right.
Until you all of a sudden see somebody grab their gloves and head toward
that's
that
right. We're taught
bathroom.
About weights, but there's a very important rule, the phrase that talks about cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Clouds of witnesses sometimes are unnoticed. Clouds are sometimes unnoticed. We don't realize the influence that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing thing.
Listeners, thank you. We are having a pleasant interview with Don Cox of Impact Youth Ministry. Again, he is in Northern California and covers the Nevada District as well. He's out of Sacramento. Don, would you care to have a prayer to close us, or is there anything else you'd like to add in the future?
Yeah, I'd be honored to. One of the things we were mentioning is, you know, how to stay in communication. Impact Youth Ministries, I'm one of these guys, if it's not done right, we don't do it. And so we kind of let the website go. But Impact NorCal on Facebook, Don Cox Impact on Twitter, and you can find us there, Don Cox on Facebook as well. My email is dcox@surewest.net. If you ever need to talk or want to talk, find us there. We have an event at Six Flags in Vallejo on May 14th. We'd love to have you there. We have two stages, 8 hours each, of Christian music going all day long. You get tickets for me for $30, which is less than half price, and I can give you free parking. So come out with the body of Christ. And thank you guys for inviting me, and I'd be honored to pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for this radio station. Thank you, God, for each and every listener. I pray, God, that on a regular basis, that you use us to help others, that we would make a difference. We constantly want to do two things well. We want to love you, and we want to love your people. And if we can do those two things well, you tell us that all of those promises hang on those two things. All of your promises hang on us loving you to the best of our ability and loving your people and those that you have created on this earth to the best of our ability. And we can do that, God. You'll give us opportunity to change lives and see lives change for the better, even changing our own hearts and lives. God, I pray your blessing. It's not in anything we say or anything that we do, but I pray for your blessing and your favor to be on the listeners at home, whether they're driving or working, whatever they might be doing, on the ministry that is involved here in this radio station and the radio station itself. I ask, God, for your favor and continue to open up doors. And God, make it happen, not just through geography, but through your plan and your purpose, God, that those who need to hear the words that are coming through this radio station will hear the words, because it's part of your plan and part of your purpose. I thank you, God, for each and every one that is part of this today, and we look forward to seeing what you have, all these dominoes that are lining up and falling in place for us and our lives and our families and our churches. We give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Shine your light, shine your light.